That's just reasonable.
Amen. Yeah, amen. We act like that's above and beyond the call of duty, but the Bible says that's just reasonable service. Amen. Good to be saved. Good to be in church tonight, second Friday night. Boy, am I going to have fun as I continue this winter, heading out west. We're in Arizona next week, and then a couple weeks there, and then California, and you know, and some of them are, there's a 3-day meeting, and there's some 4-day meetings, and there's a 6-day meeting, but wait till I'm fired up. So when I get out there after 10 days, and I'm loving it, to tell you the truth, wait till I get out there and talk to them about revivalettes, and sermonettes, and Christianettes, and, amen. I was thinking maybe we could go longer next 20, okay, we'll talk later. It is good to be saved, and I sure do appreciate the Lord letting us not just come and preach. That we're called to preach, and we're called to minister, and you've given us the opportunity to do that, and we appreciate that. And but more than that's going on here. I hope you realize. I hope you feel the same way. God's knitting our hearts together in a very special way, and as we go out with different people and have lunch with different people and mingle. I'm glad this isn't the 12:05 crowd, you know, that 5 minutes after the final amen, everybody disperses. It's given us the opportunity to get to know each other. And I appreciate that. That helps us. I hope it's a blessing to you. All right, here we go tonight. Now, some of you probably know all about this. I don't know. But this is the Andrew machine. For the psychiatric hotline. I don't know, maybe you've called it, and I don't know. But if you call it, you get the answer machine, it says, hello, welcome to the psychiatric helpline. Helpline, I guess it is. And it says then, it goes through the numbers, it says, if you are obsessive compulsive, please press 1, repeatedly. Amen. And if you are codependent, please ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, please press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you're schizophrenic, listen carefully, and a little voice will tell you which number to press. If you have, if you're paranoid delusional, we know who you are. We're staying on the... we're tracing this call, so just stay on the line. Amen. And then the last one on the answer machine will say this. If you're manic depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, nobody wants to talk to you anyway. Amen. And that was given to me. I didn't write it down while I was on hold. Okay, I want to let you know that. Take your Bible tonight. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's begin in verse 1. The Bible says this, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man at war hath entangled himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Amen. This is not a what must I do to be saved message. This Friday night, second Friday, eighth day, this is a how to be a good soldier message. Because you've been chosen, according to verse 4, you've been chosen to be a soldier, so I want to give you some things, and I'm going to base it on my experience in the military, and I hope you can get something from it. Let's pray again. Father, I love you. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for the faithfulness of the folks this week for this meeting. I thank you for their faithfulness to pray, because, Lord, it's gone as well as it has from my end, because folks have prayed for us, and I know it. And I just pray, Lord, you'd return the favor to them by giving them something tonight individually. May there be no mistake that it is something that that came from you, that the Holy Spirit will bear witness to. May it be a good night in the Lord tonight, and help us all to be good soldiers. And Father, if there's somebody in here that's not saved, pray you to impress it upon their heart, get that taken care of while they can. And I just love you tonight. I thank you for this church and the other churches that are represented here. I thank you for these friends. Most of all, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, amen and amen. All right, now, as a paratrooper in the United States Army, I don't even know anymore, 45, 47 years ago, something like that, long time ago. And so I want to do some correlation there and preach on being a good soldier of Jesus Christ based on that experience. Now, number one, to be a paratrooper, you had to enlist. You had to enlist. Now, there's a lot of people in the Army, men and women too, and I appreciate that. But just being in the Army did not make you a paratrooper. All right, you had to make a conscious decision to go above and beyond. And it means that to endeavor to do your best. And I went to Fort Polk, Louisiana in 1972 for infantry school. It was the Vietnam training base, and we were in the swamps with the snakes and the gators and all that stuff for a couple of months. And everybody in the class, when we graduated, I was given orders for Vietnam. And then 10 names, a guy stepped up and he had a list and he clipboard and he read off 10 names. And those were 10 names of men that had volunteered to go on to paratrooper school at Fort Benning, Georgia, and had passed all the tests and everything needed to be passed. So while everybody else got sent home for 30-day leave, those 10 of us got on a bus and went over to Georgia, and we had volunteered to add to our training and to go above and beyond. And so I want to emphasize that to be a paratrooper, you had to enlist, you had to sign up for it. Now, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to enlist. Amen. As well. And I'm not talking about being saved. You need to be saved. Jesus said you must be born again. And that's a no-brainer to those of us that are saved. It's not a no-brainer to this lost and dying world that's being presented with a thousand different ways to go. Jesus said there's only one way, and he's it. So if you're trusting or counting on anything besides the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross, to make a way for you to go to heaven instead of hell, well, you're trusting in the wrong thing. And the good news is, it's not too late to do something about that. And I hope you do. And we pray that you do. And this church exists to make it easy for you to do. Say, what do you mean by that? Listen, I've been coming here long enough to know this. There's men and women, there's teenagers in this room right now that can open a Bible and show you how to get saved. It's easy. Amen. But I'm talking about to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I like being in the airborne, the paratroopers. You're going to have to make a decision that you want to go above and beyond. Because no more was everybody in the Army a paratrooper. Everybody that's saved is not a good soldier. Amen. It means, like the lady saying, it means that you have decided that you're going to give him your best. People get saved. God gave his best. Listen, one of the hymns says, there's a search in heaven and they found a Savior. That is not doctrinally accurate. First of all, no search was made. And if there would have been, nobody was qualified. I'm here to tell you that God came himself. Amen. In the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. To make a way for our sins. Amen. To be forgiven. The God that spoke the world and creation into creation did not speak sin out. Buddy, I'm telling you what, sin is so grievous to God, it's not grievous to us as it should be, because we're sinners. But it is so grievous to God that he gave his only begotten Son to make a way for ours to be forgiven so we can get into his holy, righteous heaven.
Amen.
Amen. And if he gave his best, then it just makes sense that we ought to give him ours. Amen. I'm trying to encourage you tonight.
And if you're saved, praise the Lord. I'm happy for you. But, you know, come on. Some of you have been here. This is the eighth day in a row. I just got to take it for granted to some degree that it is somewhere within your spirit.
You have a desire to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to help you do that. I want to have you do that.
But you're going to have to make a decision to, and perhaps you have. So let me give you a couple tips. That book says, as iron sharpeneth iron, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. If you're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you better hang around other people that want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ too.
Amen. Gravity pulls down, not up.
That book says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. And I tell you what, some of you, myself included, we're real good at provoking before we got saved. And so now we're supposed to provoke one another unto love. What does that mean? Love Jesus Christ and good works. Amen. We are created unto good works, amen. Ephesians chapter 2. And if I hung around people that all they wanted to do is fish and hunt, amen, watch sports, if I hung around people that's all they talked about, that's all I'd be talking about. And you can all just be just as saved as can be and heaven bound. But I'm telling you something tonight, that's not good enough. You need to make up your mind that you want to be a good soldier, amen. That you want to be a vessel meet for the master's use, like I preached about last night, that you want to do something for God, not because you have to get to heaven, because you want to out of gratitude. And guess what? You can cross this line tonight like Travis drew a line in the sand right here in San Antonio almost 200 years ago. About 180 years ago. And make a decision to cross that line, and I'm telling you what'll happen.
When you get a chance to hunt or fish or watch sports, you'll enjoy it a lot more. It won't be the main focus of your life, and he doesn't have any problem with us enjoying some things in this life. But I'm telling you, friend, tonight, I'm challenging you to purpose in your heart to be a good soldier, amen. Of Jesus Christ. And if you're going to do that, it's not going to come natural. You're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to have to purpose in your heart, like Daniel did. You're going to have to purpose in your heart that you want to do your best for your Savior. And here's what will happen. You'll fail. We fail. The only one that doesn't fail is him. But listen, don't fail to try. There's people that won't even try because, I'll probably. Yeah, let me tell you something. If you fail, get right and get back up. Amen. Say, how oft should I get back up? Till seven times? And listen, I know I'm resting the scripture. But you know, the Lord made a point, didn't he? How oft? As often as it takes.
That's right.
Amen. You keep getting back up, and one of these days you're going to get all the way up, and you're going to say, boy, I'm glad that's over, and amen, then we'll all be in heaven.
Amen.
And amen, that's the way we ought to look at it. And he said, thou therefore endure hard as a good soldier, and drawing this little parallel here, if you want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to sign up for it. You're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to have to step over the line. You're going to have to figure it out. And you know one of the lines in that song? That last hymn was all the way, follow all the way. That was the motto for the United States Airborne Troops. All the way. Amen. Not halfway. Not three quarters of the way. It was all the way. When we saluted, an officer came, an officer would salute, he would say, how far? And our response was, all the way and then some, sir. Now that was our mental idea, always in a, and I'm going to tell you what, if anybody ever deserved that kind of commitment, it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Amen. So, Paul admonished his son in the faith, Timothy, and the Holy Spirit, because that's in our Bible tonight. That commission, that charge, that challenge is just as relevant to you and I tonight. Amen. We ought to desire in our heart to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And if we can do that, well, you're going to have to cross the line somewhere. You're going to have to enlist. You're going to have to sign up. You're going to have to make up your mind that's what you want to do. You have to enlist. Number two. Though our text says, thou therefore endure hardness. So number one is enlist. But number two is endure. Endure hardness. And in the military, now I went to jump school.
I was 18. I was fresh out of high school. I was rebellious. I was lazy. I was a country boy. I was talking to Brian today. I joined the Army because I was sick and tired of being told what to do. Yeah. I mean, I had decided that my mom and dad, their goal in life, their mission in life was to make sure that I wasn't cool. Amen. That I didn't fit in. Amen. That I had to be home at a certain time, or I had to have my hair cut a certain way. And boy, by the time I was 18, of course, I had arrived at that place where I knew everything. Yeah. And if I would humble myself enough to admit I didn't know everything, I probably knew another 18-year-old that knew everything. And that I've realized there's no cure for that. They've never figured out a cure for that.
That's right.
By the grace of God, he let some of us survive those years.
Amen.
Amen. So I was tired of being told what to do, and I went out and I joined the United States Army. Amen. Boy, when we pulled into Fort Knox, Kentucky at midnight in the rain, I'd never been on an airplane until that day. And so it's been a day of experiences. And a guy comes up to a Greyhound bus, and there's about 40 of us on that bus, and that guy, he had that drill instructor hat on, and he didn't ask us to get off the bus. Matter of fact, the language that he used, I'd never been talked to like by my mom or dad with some of the words he said. I said, oh boy, it's a possible I might have made a mistake. And then they took us to the Quonset hut where the barbers were, and the guy said, you want to keep that hair, son? And I didn't know that was an option. So I said, yes. And he said, hold out your hand. What you can catch, you can keep. Amen. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, man, I was a no character, a country boy. I made it through basic training. Wasn't that big a deal at Fort Knox. Went down there in the swamps. And the only reason I did as well as I did in infantry school is because they're sending everybody to Vietnam. And I didn't really like it. And I wasn't real gung-ho. But I didn't want to die over there either. So I listened real good. But my dad had told me a story. He was a combat veteran, United States Army, 30 caliber Browning water-cooled machine gunner, fighting the Japanese in the Philippines. And he had told me a story one time about those airborne rangers coming back from that were out beyond the front lines, the long-range patrols. And he said there was something about them that kind of inspired him. I saw that as he told when he did mention anything about the war. And somewhere I got it in my head, I'd sure like to earn my dad's respect like that. I'd sure like to impress him. I didn't need to do any of that. He loved me, but I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I was a rebel. Amen. And so I signed up for paratrooper school, and it wasn't easy for me. But some people might breeze right through that thing, running like we ran every day. It wasn't easy for me, but there were times that we started with 306 and graduated 91. So it wasn't easy for a lot of other guys either. I'm going to tell you what helped me make it. Because there were times where I wanted to quit. You could quit. There were times I just felt like dropping out. And I tell you what, I remembered the look on my dad's face when he told me about those airborne rangers and that respect that he had for them. And when there were days when I didn't have the character to stick it out myself, I just did it for my father. And it was hard. And it was harder for me than maybe it would have been for some others, but to be a paratrooper, you had to endure the hardness of training. And to you and I, that book says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now he made salvation easy. Amen. I got saying a jail cell. He made salvation easy. But to be a good soldier, you're going to have to endure some hardness. You're going to have to endure the hardness of study. You're going to have to endure... Oh, let me add this. You guys, you got to endure the hardness of 10 days. Listen to Dave Spurgeon preach. It's day 8. How are you doing? You guys are doing pretty good. Amen. You're going to have to endure the hardness of study. If you want to be a good soldier. I mean, you know, let's just face it. Probably 99%, 98, 97, I don't care. Most of professing Christianity in this age are Bible blockheads.
Right.
They don't even know which Bible. They don't even know there's differences in the Bible. They don't even know that they're most of them are carrying around Bible where there are verses missing. And the devil didn't even feel like you need to renumber it. Just go from 15 to 17. They'll never notice, and they don't. And I'm talking about even amongst us professing Bible believers who know the King James Bible, the inspired, inerrant Word of God. We know that, but we don't read it like we should. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, there's more to being a good soldier of Jesus Christ than just tucking that 1611 under your arm. You better move it over into your heart. Amen. You're going to have to endure the hardness of study. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. You want to be a good soldier? Probably help to be approved unto God. A working knife needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now maybe you're like my wife. Maybe you're bookish. She's bookish. Let me tell you how bookish she is. We live in a motor home. We do not live in a recreational vehicle because we are not on vacation for 20 years. Yeah, we live in a motor home, and it's got one bathroom, and that one bathroom is in the section where she naps daily. I used to give her a hard time about napping daily. Something happened at around 62. Now I nap more often than I used to. So here I am sitting at my desk. I have to be quiet because, well, I guess it would work for anybody, but when I walk around in a motorhome, the whole motorhome moves. I don't get that. Amen. So I'm trying to be quiet so she can get her rest. And sometimes I need to go to the restroom. Like every time. And I'm waiting for her to wake up, and I'm waiting. There have been times, more than one occasion, where I have just waited as long as I possibly could, and I have purposed that I'm going to sneak back there and try not to wake her up. And boy, I'll tell you what, when I wait as long as I can, and then I open that door real gently, real quietly, and she's not sleeping. She's laying there in bed with the light on, reading. Sneak. Reading. My wife loves to study, loves to read. She reads everything. I have a beautiful library at home, and I've got a lot of books. I inherited a lot of them from my Bible teacher and when he died. And I mean, I've added to the collection, and I've got some very impressive books. I had a preacher stay at my house one time, and he said, "Wow, Brother Spurgeon, this is quite a library. Have you read all these books?" And I said, "Read them? I thought preachers were just supposed to collect them. I didn't know you were supposed to read them." Amen. Hey, listen, I got a hold of this King James Bible when I got saved, and I read it, and then I get to the end, and I start over, and I get to the end, and I start over. But I'm going to tell you, hey, if you're ever going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to study. And again, it comes easier for some people than others. Some people like to read. Some people just devour it. It's not easy for me. I'll be at home, and I'll be trying to read, and the garage is calling me. Amen. It's just like, oh, and I've just drawn. That's not what but I have to do that because I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It might be the same way. And for you, it may be hard. But I'm telling you, if you're going to be, he said, thou, New Testament Christian, if you're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you might have to force yourself.
Amen.
But to be approved unto God, you're going to have to do it. And it doesn't just say that. A study saw thyself approved unto God, a working that needeth not to be ashamed. It wasn't that many years ago people were burned at the stake.
Yes.
Concealing portions of Scripture. Yes. That were later assembled and are now in what we have, the English Bible, that you and I have, and we don't appreciate as much as we should. Oftentimes, I will. Hold on a second. Let me show you something I learned. Amen, Brother Spurgeon.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. I have to amen myself a lot. Amen. I don't know why that is. But I'm telling you what. In light of what people had to go through so that you and I could have a Bible, if you're not studying it, if you're not approved unto God, if it's not your desire to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Amen. And I'm talking to myself too, because I know it doesn't come natural. It doesn't come easy. You know, I'm not. Somebody said, well, Brother Spurgeon, don't you have all those letters after your name, you know, and, you know, all that. You know what I'm talking about, right? The doctorate. And I said, I got something better than that. And they said, what? I said, I got numbers after my name. Say, what do you mean? That went right. Whew. Okay. That book says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. And Paul's gone. And you and me been jockeying for position, for chief of sinners ever since. I got numbers after my name. My incarceration numbers. And you're still looking at me like that. So I'm going to, that doesn't matter. If you're going to endure hardness, if you're going to be a good soldier, you're going to have to endure the hardness of study. So do it. So study. So force yourself. You'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you did. Amen? And then something else, because we better move on. I can see that. And you must take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and look at verse 17. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Let me see. Yeah, that'll be a good place to start. Verse 17, the Bible says this, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. So who's the them? Read the chapter, okay? Read it on your own time. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. If you're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to endure the hardness of separation. Amen. Let me tell you something about David thinks only Marines lived like this. United States paratroopers were held to a higher standard than regular Army. Amen. They really were. And in conduct, in appearance, I mean, in the early 70s when Volar was coming in, our hair was shorter. Our uniform was still starched. Our boots were spit shined. Amen. And we have volunteered for that kind of thing. And I'm telling you something, if you're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, amen, you're going to be held to a higher standard too. You're going to have to endure the hardness of separation. I appreciate the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, but I'm telling you, now I'm not talking about stipulations to being saved. I'm not saying that at all. But if you're going to be a good soldier, there's some places that you can't go. There's some things that you can't do. I'm not a legalist. I'm just telling you, if you're going to be a good soldier, you better get a hold of separation. Amen. Amen. There's some things you're just not going to be able to do that other people are doing. And you don't have to, but if you're going to be a good soldier, you better get a hold of this thing. I know some people that don't have any standards at all. And talking to somebody one time, and they said, well, I don't want to be confused with one of those Pharisees. You know what I told them? I said, you don't have to worry about that. You're not even going to be confused of being a Christian at all. Well, amen. How in the world are we going to make a difference to a lost and dying world if there's no difference in us?
That's right.
Amen. Well, Jesus lives in me. Work it out with fear and trembling. You're going to make a difference. That's what it says. All right? So you're going to have to endure the hardness of separation. Now, when I got saved, the old crowd was worried that I might become a threat. I don't know if you know what that means or not. But I was in motorcycle gangs. We were prosecuted as organized crime. People didn't take lightly to the fact that a national officer may all of a sudden be going straight. Some were worried maybe that I would become an informant. Some were convinced that maybe they should just not take the chance. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? Amen. Wow, that was kind of hard after giving 15 years of my life. Amen, to that lifestyle. And I never did quit the club. I got saved. I became a new creature in Jesus Christ. Amen. I never did anything against them. Amen. But they didn't know. They didn't understand. I get that. That was kind of hard. What'd you do? I got in church. I got in my Bible. And I just kept going. And I figured if the Lord could do all that he did to save my soul, he could take care of me. And if he doesn't, then I get to go to heaven.
Amen.
Yeah, that's just how I look at it. That's the way I was taught to look at it. That's the way I still look at it. But I'm going to tell you what, it was hard, and some people don't endure that hardness and don't make that separation and just insist on hanging around on the edge of places that they ought not hang around. And they're still saved, and amen, but God's still merciful. I get that. But they're not good soldiers. And so I don't claim any great spiritual depth. I just got put in a church where a preacher opened up the Bible and says, this is the way it ought to be. And I said, sir, yes, sir. And now 20 years later, I wrote that book, and I've been able to witness to some of them guys. Now I'm writing letters. The guy's doing triple life, and they're writing back, and I'm telling them how to be saved. I had two former members of the organization that I belong to come and hear me preach, and North Carolina back in November. First time that ever happened. But I get emails through the website and people that I used to ride with. And, boy, if I would have just folded, you know what they say? You know, we didn't know what happened to you. We didn't understand. But it's been over 20 years. I don't know what happened, but it must be real. Amen. And I write back and say, oh, this is how real it was. And they know I didn't become a wimp. They know I didn't become a snitch. And they know I give Jesus Christ as much dedication as I gave them. And I had a good reputation in the old days. So I just put it in perspective for them. I'm just going to live for God the way I live for the club. And they went, "How? We don't expect anything less." And it's opened doors for me because I endured the hardness of separation. Amen. And I mean, you want to be a good soldier. I mean, everybody in here. Some of you got stories about family that's dropped you like a hot rock, friends and all that. And there's empty pews in churches I preach at all because people wouldn't separate themselves. If you're going to be a good soldier, you're going to have to endure the hardness of study. That's why you need to be thankful that you've got a church, and I know there's at least three churches represented here that believe that book and preach that Amen. Book and teach that book, because if you get under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and it's rightly divided the way it should be, then it'll develop a thirst inside of you that'll only be quenched by saying, well, it's Sunday and I don't get to come back to church on Wednesday, and you can open your Bible on Monday. Amen. Am I telling the truth, Matt? Is this the way it is in Staten Island? Same way, man. Present that book and amen. You want to be a good soldier? You want to do something for God? Amen. You're going to have to endure the hardness of study. You're going to have to endure the hardness of separation. Amen. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it because you'll develop a testimony that'll let you be a light to the people that you need to separate from maybe for a time. Family members and things like that, and co-workers. Amen? There's too many closet Christians. I don't like that term, closet, you know. Amen. That meant something different when I was younger. And I don't know how that crowd came out, and some of us are content to stay in. The only closet that needs to be in your life is a prayer closet. And then you come out, you be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But you're going to have to endure. It says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And that's why there's people that are saved, and they love Jesus, and they come to church, and some of them give, and they sing specials and all that, and they don't do and go, but they're not soldiers at all.
That's right.
And I'm trying to encourage you to, and I mean, this is pretty easy, no-brainer here. I know some of you have been at it for a long time. You got a great testimony, amen, among some of my very dear friends, and I'm trying to encourage you. And challenge you to keep it up. And maybe if you're not on board, man, get on board. Sign up. Enlist. And but don't live under the misconception that there's not some hardness to it. Because that's what Paul's telling Timothy. There's some hardness to it. Is it worth it? Of course it's worth it. You're going to have to endure the hardness of study. And you're going to have to endure the hardness of separation. You're going to have to endure the hardness, if you're going to be a good soldier, you're going to have to endure the hardness of service. Of service. Let me tell you something. Go to church every service. This isn't a pick or choose thing if the Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Amen. I've been exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's not a multiple choice thing. If the church is assembling, you're supposed to be there.
Amen.
If you want to be a good soldier. Amen. Okay, and so going to church is not the hardness of service. Or going to the nursing home, or going to the street corner, going door to door, going to the jail. That's not That's not soldiering. I'll tell you what that is. That's just doing your duty. It says in Luke 17 and 10, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. An average soldier does his duty. Amen. You want to be a good soldier? The verse in here, let me see, Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. Says this, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen? Amen. You know what Paul did when he got saved? He said, what would you have me to do? You know, you think that doesn't work? That absolutely does work. Was Paul a good soldier of Christ? Yeah, he was, and he taught, and he trained, and he's in the process of training Timothy not only to be a good soldier himself, but to commit what he's learned unto others. And that's what the purpose of this is here in this church, to equip soldiers for the battle. We're in a battle. There's a lot of places they have no idea. You could go into a lot of these kumbaya cathedrals and start talking about spiritual warfare, and they wouldn't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. If you're a Bible believer, you do. You're going to have to endure the hardness of study, and you're going to have to endure the hardness of separation, and you're going to have to endure the hardness of soldier. Let me tell you something about soldiering. Real soldiers don't carry victim cards looking for opportunities to use it. Amen?
That's right.
Good soldiers of Jesus Christ don't either. You know what they look for? They look for opportunities to serve. If the preacher says, we need somebody to do this, we need somebody to do that, it shouldn't be like pulling teeth to guilt trip somebody. And that's when you look for, you're looking for an opportunity to serve, right? That's when you come forward and say, here am I, send me. How about that? That works. Isaiah 6. Amen. We're talking about the hardness of service, and a lot of us like to pretend that the hardness of service has to do with persecution. Oh, preacher, I went out on the street corner and somebody gave me the finger. Oh, you poor thing. Amen. Or somebody slammed a door in your face. That's not hardness. That's not persecution. Is what that's not. Most Americans know very little about persecution. Most of us know little about it. We've got brothers and sisters all over this world that know something about it. Amen. And there's more revival going on in countries where there's a cost and there's a risk. Amen. But I'm trying to tell you, it's important that you and I endure the hardness of service. The hardest thing most American Christians endure is saying no to their flesh. And most of the problems that American Christians have is they don't. We need to endure some hardness.
Amen.
And you need to endure the hardness of submission. And that's probably the hardest. Because we don't like that.
Amen.
We don't like that idea. But the book says in James chapter 4, submit yourselves therefore to God. And it goes on and says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And there's people that the devil is camped out next door to them and they can't figure out why. And I can figure out why. Because they're not submitted to God. Oh, but I love Jesus, but I'm saved. If you're submitted to God, you'll read the book. If you're submitted to God, you'll give. If you're submitted to God, you'll look for opportunities to do something. If you're submitted to God, you'll pray. Because he says do all those things. Amen? And you don't have to. You don't have to. You can just, you know, you can work that out at the judgment seat of Christ with the Lord. But it'll be too late to be a good soldier then. And there's people that will never hear the message or never have the example. If we don't take this thing seriously and get on board, and if it wasn't serious, why in the world did God put it in the Bible? Amen. There's a lady over in a church in Columbus, Georgia, Phoenix City, Alabama, actually. They're right on the line there by Fort Benning. And I was over there preaching, and this lady, she had been a pastor's wife for, I don't know, 50 years. And she had gone blind. Her name was Mrs. Woodard. She had gone blind. And her husband had retired and was a member of this church that I go to. And he would help her, of course, and lead her in and out of church. And they both had a real sweet spirit. One time, the first time I went there, he was there, and he introduced me. They introduced me, and then they called on him to pray. So my name's Spurgeon. And so he got to praying, and he's praying, "Oh, dear God, please help Brother Moody to preach." Yeah, one of them old guys, you know, one of them. And he got cancer, and he went home to be with the Lord. And I went back there, and I'm thinking, Mrs. Woodard, she's blind. And people are bringing her to church, and she's just got the sweetest spirit. And one time I went there after her husband had gone home to be with the Lord. And you know how it is when you got a blind person, you say hello, and they stick their hand out, and you get it for them, you know. And I said, "Hello, Mrs. Woodard." I said, "How are you doing today?" She stick her hand out, I shake her hand, she goes, "Brother Spurgeon, I'm so blessed that God has given me another day to submit to Him."
Amen.
That's how she woke up every day.
Amen.
"I'm still alive. I have another day to submit to God."
Amen.
Listen, that's higher ground than I live on.
That's right.
Most of you too. I mean, ask yourself, who in the world thinks like that? I'm going to tell you. Good soldiers.
Amen.
Amen. Good soldiers. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to endure the hardness of submission if you're ever going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can get all that other stuff, but you're going to have to submit to the authority that's appointed over you. And I'm going to tell you something else. You're going to have to, it says in Ephesians 5, submitting yourselves one unto another in the fear of the Lord. We're not in competition with each other. Amen. We're supposed to submit ourselves. We're supposed to look out for each other. You know, one of the testimonies of soldiers that come back from the war, one of the things they struggle with when they get back to the world, we called it, is there was a bond of brotherhood in the service. And that bond of brotherhood is scriptural. Amen. And we're supposed to be that way. And we're supposed to submit ourselves to one another. We're not, again, I don't know any better way to say it. We're not competing. We're not jockeying for position. Amen. We're supposed to be on the same side. Amen. And let me tell you something I know. Some of you know too. Well, the battlefield is no place for rebellion. It's no place for loose cannons. You know what I'm saying? Independent contractor. We're supposed to work together for the cause of Jesus Christ. We're talking about being a good soldier. And if you're going to be a good soldier, you're going to have to endure some hardness. You're going to have to do some hardness of study. And again, it's harder for some than others. Doesn't matter. You know, do it. Do your best. When you fail, get it right. Do it again.
Yeah.
You're going to have to endure the hardness of separation. Say, "Well, that's hard because there's some people." That's right. You know, if you weren't willing to do that, maybe you shouldn't have got saved. You know, yeah, look at it like that. "Oh, no, I don't want to go to hell." Well, you want them to? So let's be the example we're supposed to be and endure the hardness of separation, endure the hardness of service. Amen. God, oftentimes in a church, people leave vacancies that need to be filled, and it gives people an opportunity to step up to the plate. The best way for a vacancy to occur is when somebody surrenders and goes to the mission field or goes and takes a ministry somewhere, and maybe they were the Sunday school teacher, or maybe they were a youth leader or something like that. And that gives the next person an opportunity to step up to the plate. Sometimes people just, God gets them out of the way. Amen. And the first way is better. I know this. I know something about being a soldier. Soldiers understand the importance of a chain of command. I didn't have any privates in basic training that tried to argue with a combat veteran, Vietnam veteran, drill sergeant, says, "I don't think we should do it that way." But I've seen it since I've been saved.
Yeah.
I've seen people get a year of Bible Institute under them and start arguing with some preacher that's been at it for 30 years. Tried and tested and true and wept and cried and helped and given and sacrificed. And then somebody get a little Bible under their belt. Some of us got enough Bible under our belt to be dangerous. I'm going to tell you what. You're going to be a good soldier. You need to understand submission to authorities in the Bible. And the test God gives you for the submission that you're supposed to have to Him is whether or not you'll submit to the authority He puts over you in the local church. Amen. And it's not a dictatorship, and I don't expect you to call one of these preachers and ask them what color car to buy. We're not talking about that stuff. We're talking about in soldiering for the Lord and the spiritual and the Lord's army. There's some authority in place. And if you're a rebel, you're not a good soldier. It says in Hebrews 13, remember them that have a rule over you. Verse 17, it said, obey them that have a rule over you and submit yourself. Verse 24, it says, salute all them that have the rule over you. Amen. Amen.
Right.
Tell you what, this last thing, this hardness of submission, has prevented some very capable, very qualified men and women, too, from being good soldiers. Amen. Like we read the verse the other day, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He'll exalt you in due time. Amen? All right, so we're talking about being a good soldier. And this is only a three-pointer with 37 sub-points. I know. Well, it doesn't matter. And so to be a good soldier, you're going to have to sign up. You're going to have to enlist. And then you're going to have to endure some things, too. Last of all, to be a good soldier, you're going to have to exit. All right, now, in jump school there in Fort Benning, all that training, 3 weeks, pretty intense, all that training did not make you a paratrooper. To be a paratrooper, you had to exit an aircraft in flight 5 times in 1 week. Amen. We had jump commands on the aircraft. Now, once you got past all the training and all the mock towers and all the stuff leading up to it, you're in the aircraft and there's jump commands. You got a drill and some jump master in the front of the plane. You got a guy at the back and you got a door that comes open and the jump commands go like this: get ready. And you better be ready because there's not time to get ready by then. Yeah, the first command is get ready and then stand up. You had inboard personnel and outdoor personnel and you'd stand them up one at a time. And then you'd hook up that static line. We were not county fair sport jumpers. We were combat paratroopers with over 150 pounds of equipment and loaded weapons. You hear me? So you get that static line hooked up. I'm going to tell you what, you better make sure your static line's hooked up to that book. Alright, and then you check the static line, and you make sure, and there's a little pin, and you put that in, because you don't want that baby coming loose. Talk about fall like a rock, that's what you'll fall like, amen? And then check equipment. That was the next jump command, and you're doing all this stuff in a matter of 30 seconds, but check equipment. Now you're sitting there, and your parachute's on your back. And you got a harness and everything, and you got a reserve parachute right there. So when you check equipment, you double take, you look, make sure nothing is any straps in the wrong place, and your equipment's not going to deploy properly. So you have to check it, but you can't check your back. So you check the guy back in front of you. Amen. When you get done, you go and you trace every line, and you make sure his equipment's good. And when everything's good, the last guy, he hits me on the back of the pack and says, okay! And that works its way all the way up to the drill sergeant. And the first guy, the jump master, he says, okay, jump master! And everybody's equipment is checked. And then it's been a while, so I'm going to have to remember. Oh, sound off for equipment check. And then the second to last one, that's the most fun. That door's open. And that jump master says, for the first guy in the thick, stand in the door. And so then the first guy, he makes a right, and or it depends what side he's on, and his toes sticking out about that far out the door on the outside of an aircraft that's been slowed down to 150 miles an hour. Jet or prop job, either one. They slow it down to 150, and you put your hands on the outside of the aircraft, and you wait. And here's what you've got. Now that's standing in the door. Now you've got, in your peripheral vision, you've got a big red light. And under that red light is a green light. And you're standing there and you're looking out at the ground and it's really cool, I gotta tell you. And, that light turns green and you can tell in your peripheral. And at that second that light turns green, that jump master hits you on the back and says, go. That's the last jump command. And then you jump. You exit. You do that 5 times and you get your wings. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, you want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Yeah. Let me see. Maniac Cadera, one of my favorite Bible guys. He besought the Lord in Mark chapter 5 that he might be with him. And the Lord said, howbeit the Lord suffered him not, but saith unto him, go. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Listen, you can be like a paratrooper in jump school, and you can get all the training in the world, and you can excel, and you can get awards, and you can just be the best guy in school. Until you exit, you're not a paratrooper. And I'm going to tell you what, you can be here and soak it up and soak it up and rightly divide, be the smartest person in the room. But until you get out there and put what you learned into practice,
amen,
you're not a good soldier. You got to enlist. You got to endure some things. But then you got to get out there in the fight. He told us in Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Luke 14, the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be full. And if you're ever going to be a good soldier, amen, you got to get out there and put what you learned into practice. I'll close with this. Verse number 4 there in 2 Timothy 2 said this, no man of war entangleth himself in the affairs of this life,
amen,
that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if you're sitting here tonight, maybe you don't look at it this way, and maybe all of you know every bit of this better than I do. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, you've been chosen to be a soldier. Now, whether you're a good one or not, that's up to you. But my thinking is, well, you might as well be a good one.
Amen.
And if you're going to be, I'm trying to help you tonight. You're going to have to enlist. You're going to have to make a conscious decision that you're going to endeavor to give Jesus Christ your best and quit giving him the leftovers and quit being satisfied with good enough. I'm going to tell you something. Modern Christianity is so out in left field, so far, so apostate, that if they've made it easy for you and I, just because we're saved and know that we're eternally secure and have the Word of God, they've made it easy for us convince ourselves that we're way more spiritual than we really are.
Amen.
Amen. And so we're not to judge ourselves by the worst example. We're supposed to draw nigh to God.
Amen.
Amen. And so you need to enlist and you need to endure. And, you know, Brother Brian was doing Sunday school last Sunday and talking about the seed and the sower. And one of the grounds that the seed was sowed on, they were easily offended. And I've seen Christians, full-grown Christians, just get easily offended and knocked right out of the race. And they're saved, and they've got skills, and they've got capabilities, and they've got qualities that the Lord would be happy to use. You know why he scrapes the bottom of the barrel? Because a lot of people that are more qualified are just way too sensitive. Amen? All right, so you need to endure hardness, and then, but you're going to have to get out there. And I want to encourage you to get out there. So let me wrap it up like this. Have you enlisted? Now, obviously you need to be saved, and I hope you are. But you can be saved and not be a good soldier. As a matter of fact, many these days, I'm talking about in our crowd, are AWOL. Absent without leave.
That's very good.
Where are they? FBI can't find them with a warrant. Now, when I was in the service, I reckon it the same way. You can only be a deserter for 30 days. You can only be AWOL for 30 days. And after that, you become a deserter. Amen? You know, when that Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, you look up that word forsake, and it means quit, it means abandon, it means desert. And when I saw that, I'm going to tell you what, that word deserter is equivalent to traitor in my economy. Amen? I don't want to be guilty of that. You know that Bergdahl fella? I'm going to tell you what. It's real easy. Somebody should ask me what I think they ought to do with him. Amen. I'm glad he didn't get pardoned too. Amen. A deserter puts other people in danger. You can be saved and you can have a King James Bible under your arm. But are you where you need to be? I hope you are. You're going to have to make a point to be, because your flesh does not want to go along with anything I've said.
Amen?
And so are you enduring hardness? Or whining all the time? Like I've said, no doubt in this many messages, there's places I go and I just buckle up because there's going to be some big drama issue gone. And I'm thinking, man, no wonder you guys ain't doing nothing for God. Everybody's a victim. I refuse to be a victim.
Amen.
I'm an American. I got problems, but we're going to work through them. That's the way I was raised, and I hope we're going to get back to that to some degree, to tell you the truth. Amen? But you can be so entangled, and you can be so entangled in the affairs of this life that you're not a good soldier, and you'd like to be, and you want to be. Well, then, where do you think you start getting unentangled? I mean, sometimes it may seem like, whether it's debt or issues, that it's just, you know, some Chinese genius said, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Well, that's maybe what somebody needs to do tonight if they're ever going to be a good soldier, is take a step.
Amen.
And, you know, dare I say it again? It might be this way.
Right.
And then down on your knees and start talking to God. This isn't instant. I mean, some things you just got to ask God for help with.
Right.
A lot. But that's how you start getting unentangled. You know, there's things God never showed you because you never asked Him to.
Amen. That's true.
Amen?
That's true.
Maybe you should talk to Him about it. Maybe you've got excuses why you're not a good soldier.
Amen.
But why are you accepting that? Amen?
Amen.
All right. All right, I'm almost done. Some of you are already done. So let me say, have you exited? I see you here every night. That's good. That's good. But, you know, we got too many of in Bible Christianity. We got too many armchair generals. You know, they talk about armchair quarterbacks. People sit around and watch football and he should have did this and he should have did that, done that. Well, my wife will correct me later on my English. But we got that. We got that in Christianity. We got people, I've been on the street, handing out tracts, street preaching, things like that, and people come up and say, I don't think you ought to be doing it like that. I get more flack from Christians than I do lost people.
Yeah.
Well, they say they're Christians. Well, I go to this church, and I don't think you ought to be out here. And I think, one of them time I said, well, I'd rather be doing it wrong than not doing it all, doing it at all like you. I mean, let's get started somewhere. Let's be a good soldier. That's what keeps it exciting to me. I was bored easily when I was lost, and I always had to find something to keep it exciting. And I just brought that into Christianity. I'm going to tell you what, you look in that book, and we talked about goodly heritage the other night. There's plenty of examples in here, buddy. They were fired up, and that encourages me to be fired up. And you need to get fired up, too. And last thing I'm going to say, I know we've got some good soldiers in here. So if you've been at it, stay at it.
Amen.
Let's all stand, close our eyes. Preacher's going to come. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit.